Well, good morning, Brill family. My name is Jake, and I want you to know that I love you. If you're watching the sermon on Facebook or streaming it online, that means that the snow came. And so we're going to do things a little differently this morning. Go ahead and get comfortable. Grab yourself a cup of coffee. Get your Bible ready. Maybe grab your favorite seat on the couch. How often do you get to watch a sermon from the comfort of your own couch? So this is a little treat for you today. I'm going to preach sitting down, so this is going to be a little new for me too. I might look to my left or to my right. Just imagine that the whole church is sitting right there with you in your living room this morning. I believe that God wants to speak to you. So I want you to lean in, even though this might be a little different, because I believe God has some fresh and new things he wants to share with you. Let me pray. We're going to be in Mark chapter 4. If you want to open those Bibles, let me pray, and then we'll dive into the Word. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And I just pray right now, God, for your Holy Spirit to speak to us in a new and fresh way. God, you tell us in your Word that small seeds sown with faith can turn into big kingdom things. And so I pray that that would become true for us today. That, Father, we would believe and trust in the power of the little things. I pray for our marriages, for our families, for our children, our jobs, whatever you're leading us to this week, God. Could we be encouraged and inspired by your word to sow a small seed into those areas and believe you're going to bring a kingdom harvest? God, I pray that right now you would just help me to get out of the way so that the Holy Spirit could speak to us by your word. I love you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about how little things can have a big impact on your life. You know, some of the most incredible things in the world come from the smallest beginnings. If you look at literature, all of the great works of English and American literature come from 26 very little letters from the alphabet. I love to read. One of my favorite books to read is the Harry Potter series. I love this book. This is The Prisoner of Azkaban. It's my favorite book in the series. This is an illustrated edition that I got for Christmas, and I just love this story. It's a story of good versus evil. It's a story of courage and loyalty. It's a little over 300 pages, but it all comes from 26 very little letters. Now, this is also true in music. All of your favorite bands and symphonies and orchestras, whatever it may be, all of their work comes from 8 basic notes on a piano. Now, I collect vinyl records, and one of my favorite records is Continuum, John Mayer. This is my pride and joy right here. I would say this is the best album ever made. A lot of people wouldn't agree with that, but I will say this. This is the best breakup album that has ever been written. So if you're going through a breakup right now, or you're kind of on the cusp of a breakup, like you know you've earned one, so it's probably coming, I'd go ahead and get this album. When Hannah would dump me in college, this was the album that I would go to listen to. All of your favorite music, all of your favorite symphonies and bands, all of their music comes from 8 very basic notes on a piano. Small things can have a very big impact. Today we're going to look at how small things can produce and represent incredibly big things that have a lasting impact on us. Now Jesus knew this, and he taught in the gospel this story about a small seed and the potent impact that it had. Now I don't know about you, I don't have a lot of experience planting, but when I was a kid, I planted a small pumpkin seed. And I was hoping that I would grow a pumpkin from that little pumpkin seed. So I planted it in the ground. This is a true story. And every day I went out to check on that pumpkin seed, like every single day for months. Is there a pumpkin? Is there a pumpkin? And nothing came. Now, eventually I got bored and I kind of forgot about the pumpkin. A year later, me, my mom, and my dad walk out on the porch and our whole backyard had turned into a pumpkin patch from one small seed. I'm talking like 30 or 40 pumpkins were all over our backyard. If we'd had some hay and some apple cider, I mean, we could have had like a lucrative little business going on from this one little tiny seed. Here's what I want you to know today. Jesus says that there is tremendous potency and power in a small kingdom seed sown into your life. We're going to look at a story that he taught in Mark chapter 4. It's a parable. Parables were stories that Jesus would teach to demonstrate how the kingdom of God works in our life. And so we're going to look at one of those stories. And Jesus is going to teach us how small seeds can turn into big kingdom things. So we're going to look at Mark 4, verses 30 to 32. It'll be on the screen for you if you want to follow along. It says this. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a small mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Now I want to take a moment, I want to point out a couple observations from this story. First, I want you to notice the mustard seed. Here's a picture of a mustard seed. These seeds would have been infinitely small. I mean, you're talking like a millimeter, maybe less than a millimeter in diameter, and maybe less than a gram in weight. So they're about the size of a grain of sand, the smallest seed in the garden. Now what they would do is they would harvest these seeds and they would use them for oil. That oil would be used to treat like colds and arthritis and all kinds of medicinal needs. This was the smallest seed that the ancient Jew would sow. But yet Jesus says, out of that small seed, less than a millimeter, comes the largest tree in the garden. Look at this picture of a mustard seed. Isn't that incredible? I mean, this tree is massive. From a less than a millimeter seed, you get a tree that's up to 16 and 17 feet tall. And they had these massive branches, as you saw in the picture. And Jesus says that the birds of the air would come and they would nest in these trees. Now, if you remember the parable of the sower, Jesus said that the birds of the air come and they snatch the seed, which is the word, from the shallow ground, and they take it away. But what Jesus is saying here is that when the seed is planted on fertile soil, when the word of God goes into a heart that is believing and soft, what grows out of that is a tree that is so strong, so unbreakable and unmovable that the birds of the air can't snatch the seed away. All they can do is rest in its shade. Friend, I want you to lean in. God wants to create something in you that is immovable, unshakable, and sturdy, like a tree that is rooted in Christ. But he's telling us that it starts with a very small seed. And I want you to listen today because I think this sermon can be very helpful for you as you think about how you grow as a believer. You see, a lot of us believe that in order to grow into Christ's likeness, we have to kind of pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We have to have these Herculean efforts, this grand effort to grow spiritually. But Jesus says spirituality starts in very small seeds. God has ordained that spiritual fruit will come into your life through the simple act of sowing a seed. He starts really small with our spiritual life. There is life-changing power in those simple acts of grace, in doing the small things well. And so I think if you'll grab a hold of this morning, what'll happen is you'll start to rest. Because you'll see that spiritual growth doesn't happen in your power or in your strength, but it comes through the master gardener who knows how to take a small seed and grow something incredibly kingdom and big from that small seed. I thought about this week. Think of how encouraging this message must have been to the disciples. I mean, the disciples had to feel so weak, so feeble, so unqualified when they spent time with Jesus. And yet Jesus looks at him and says, guys, listen to me. The kingdom is going to be accomplished through a small seed being sown in the ground and it grows into an incredible tree. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times I think I feel like the disciples probably felt. I feel like my attempts at growing spiritually are weak and feeble. Sometimes I feel disqualified to be a person that God would want to do something kingdom in. But if you'll listen to this story this morning, I think God will encourage you that all he needs is a simple seed. And so I want to point out two truths from this scripture for us to discover today. Two very simple things. The first is this: all he needs is a simple seed. To accomplish kingdom purposes in your life, all God needs is a simple seed. One simple seed has the incredible power to unlock all of the benefits and the blessing of the kingdom of God in your life. You see, one seed can have a ripple effect and grow in ways that you couldn't imagine. I saw a video this week about a man who sowed a seed of kindness. And what happened from that seed of kindness was this outpouring of blessing that he would have never expected. He was a homeless man in Kansas City, and he drove a truck that he lived out of up and down the highway. And there was snow falling on the highway, and he saw another truck that was stuck. And so he pulled over, and decided to help the person who was stuck in this truck. And when he did, he got the surprise of a lifetime. Check out this video to see what happens.
A Kansas City chief got some help from a stranger getting to the game yesterday. He sent out a tweet trying to find the mystery man. And as 41 Action News reporter Stephen Dial shows us, social media led to a once-in-a-lifetime thank you.
This story's about helping others in need, just because it's the right thing to do. And you'll soon find out, you never know who you may be helping.
It said Texas plates. That's why I said he wasn't used to this weather. You know, he ain't used to this coldness.
Like many of us Saturday, the snow and ice was a challenge.
Well, I was driving down 40 Highway and I seen a couple cars stuck. And I pulled one guy up out of there right before that. And I seen this other car just stuck on the side of the road. So I told him, I was like, we got to help him.
As thousands headed to Arrowhead Stadium, one Chiefs player needed some help before kickoff.
After I get done helping me, he told me he's a Chiefs player. I didn't look at him as no Chiefs player. I just looked at him as a normal person, you know what I'm saying? And would hope that he would do the same for me as if I did for him.
You've already met Dave. He's dealt with a lot lately, mainly because...
I am home. Yeah, that's my home. It's my home. It's my truck.
But still, he stopped to help someone he didn't know. It turned out to be a Chiefs player, Jeff Allen. Allen went to Twitter to find the Good Samaritan who helped pull his car out of the snow.
That's a natural habit for me, is to help people. You know, and I don't expect nothing in return.
Now his random act of kindness will send a guy from Kansas City that has never been to a Chiefs game to the AFC Championship game on Sunday.
It's like a dream come true, you know what I'm saying? I seen the message this morning, man, and I ain't gonna fake with y'all, man. Call me soft if you want to, homeboys, but I started bawling. I started bawling for real, I did. And just know that he is a man of his word, and he actually reached out to contact me.
Dave says he's excited to meet Jeff Allen and maybe some other Chiefs players, and of course, hopefully, the Chiefs will win the AFC Conference. Reporting, Stephen Dial, 41 Action News.
Love that. Now, as you can imagine, the response is incredible. People all over the country are reaching out asking how they can help Dave. We've got some information in the story at KSHB.com. Pretty cool.
Isn't that just a cool story? I love the way the community just rallies around this man. There were some businessmen in the area that put together a box full of like winter clothes, boots, scarves, hats. They got him some gift cards. There was a body shop in the area that took his truck in. You saw how beat up his truck was in the video. They put new windows, a new body around the outside, and gave him a place to sleep for the winter. One small seed can have an incredible ripple effect. And what I want you to know this morning is this. All he needs is one simple seed. All God needs to grow kingdom purposes, kingdom fruit in your life is one small seed. Have you ever wondered, why does God want to start so small? Why does he use little things to encourage and create these big things in our life? And I think there's a couple of reasons. One is that God gets glory when he does big things through little means. Like when you offer a small seed to God, and then you see him do something incredible, something bigger than you could ever imagine with it. You can't help but explode with worship. I mean, your heart just runs over. God, you are incredible. I can't believe that you could do this. The second reason he uses small things, and I think this one's really important, is because it forces you to trust in his power. When you know that all he needs is a simple seed, it releases you from worry about your responsibility or your ability or your strength to pull things off. Like, think about evangelism. Evangelism is something that I think everybody thinks is kind of scary. It's hard to share our faith. Some of us feel like we're not very good at it, or what if I say the wrong thing, or what if I don't have the right answer, or what if I'm not a Bible guy and I don't know enough about the Bible? In my small group this week, there was one of our small group members had a friend reach out to him. And this friend is not a believer. As a matter of fact, it's somebody that we didn't think would ever want to come to Christ. And they reached out to him and they said, man, I'm having a hard time. I'm going through some very difficult things. Could you just meet with me and encourage me and just give me some wisdom? And my friend was equally excited about the opportunity to share Christ, but he was also terrified. What if I say something wrong? What if I don't say the right thing? What if I don't have the answers to his questions? And then he said this. He said, but then I remembered the parable of these seeds. And I remember that all God needs me to do is sow a small seed. All he needs is for me to be faithful to sow a seed. He'll cause it to grow. He'll do what he wants with it. He'll make it bigger than I could ever imagine. And I was blown away by the rest that came from trusting in the small seed. Or think about prayer. Prayer is just offering one small seed up to God and hoping that he'll do something very big with it. And some of you are praying right now. You are praying prayers, asking God to do some big things. And I want you to know I'm there with you. My wife, Hannah, she has struggled with anxiety for a long time, since she was a little girl. She has anxiety about our future, about our family, about our finances. And sometimes it can be very crippling. Sometimes it can make her so nervous that she doesn't even know how to take a step because she's so worried. About a year and a half ago, she started to talk to a mentor about her anxiety. And this mentor started to encourage her and gave her a small seed of a prayer that she could pray when she's feeling anxious. And so when my wife feels anxious, she prays this. She says, "Enemy, you have no authority over me. I take back any authority I gave to you. All of the authority in my life belongs to Jesus. He commands my future. He's in charge of my family, and he's going to take care of me." And that simple seed of a prayer has unlocked so much peace and so much joy in Hannah's life that you wouldn't even believe that she's such a different person. Or think about being in your spot. In your spot, God sows small seeds into your life. He gives you a vision for the kind of life that he wants you to lead. In my small group, there's a couple named Hannah and Alec. And in their spot, God began to sow a seed about the kind of family, the vision that he had for their family. And so they took a small step. They sowed a small seed, and they went to a Dave Ramsey class. And in that Dave Ramsey class, this fruit started to grow in their life as they applied God's principles for their money to their life. They started to give to the church. They moved into an apartment so that they could stack cash and save and pay off their debt. And this summer, that small seed is about to come to fruition, and they're looking to buy their first home and start their family. Small seeds sown in faith can have an incredible impact. All he needs, friend, is one seed. All he needs is one seed. When the Word of God is activated in your life, when its power takes root in your life, God can do incredible things. He doesn't need some spiritual strength on your part, some grand effort. All he needs is one simple seed. So maybe today you're worried for your family. I want you to sow a seed of prayer to your Heavenly Father. Maybe you need wisdom in your life. I want you to go to the Word and let the seeds of God's wisdom fall into your life. Maybe there's a coworker that you really want to see come to Christ, or a friend who's lost. All he needs is a seed, friend. All he needs is for you to share one simple seed. He says in Isaiah 55, "My word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire. It will achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Look at me. Some of you need to hear this. That seed is going to grow. God will accomplish what he said he's going to do through that seed. You can take it to the bank. All he needs is one simple seed. Here's a second truth I want you to get this morning. Every seed that you sow has a tree inside. Every seed has a tree inside. Do you know that in the Bible, God has a vision for the seeds that are being sown into your life? He has a plan for what those are going to grow into. We get a glimpse of this plan in Isaiah 61. It says, "You will be called oaks of righteousness. You will be a planting for the Lord, for the display of his splendor." You see, friend, God's hope for your life is to grow you into a sturdy oak tree of righteousness. When I think about the scripture, I think about my friend Roma Lee. Many of you know Roma Lee. She was a saint, a missionary that came out of this church. Roma Lee was just a true oak of righteousness. She had a love that was rooted deep in the soil of the gospel. She had branches that were so far-reaching with hospitality. She had this joy that was like a trunk that could withstand any storm. And what I want you to know is that God wants to do that with you. But did you know that Roma Lee's tree started with just a simple seed? She grew up in a town in Texas called Holly. It was just this dusty, dirt, desert town, no stoplight. Her mom and dad didn't go to church. But in this barren place, there was a couple from the community named Brother and Sister Hunter. And they showed up on Roma Lee's doorstep one day. And they said, "Can we take that little girl to church with us?" And Roma Lee went to church. And in that Sunday school class, the seeds of the gospel started to be poured out into her life. And one seed began to take root, and it started to grow into this beautiful young tree. When she was in her teenage years, the gospel had started to take root. She went to Abilene, Texas, and she went to this place called the Sears District. It was basically like a tent city where homeless men, women, and children lived. And she took bubble gum and the gospel. And she went throughout this tent city sharing her faith, sharing the gospel one seed at a time. As she got older, her faith began to blossom out of Texas, and it went to Guatemala and Honduras and Mexico and Peru and Ecuador. And she shared the gospel with every person she came in contact with. She established countless missionaries. Some of them are people that we still support today, but it all began with one little seed. My favorite Roma Lee moment was when she was on her deathbed. She was getting ready to go meet the Lord. Our staff went down to meet with her, and one by one, we had little meetings with Roma Lee where we were there to encourage her and kind of say our goodbyes. And while we were there to encourage her, she began to minister to us in some incredible ways. I mean, every pastor left that meeting just with tears in your eyes. I mean, this is how firm and sturdy her tree trunk was. She was on her deathbed. And she's encouraging and speaking life and saying, God is going to use you. Don't give up. Do you know that Roma Lee's been with Jesus for close to 2 years? And in these couple of years that she's been gone, the Roma Lee Memorial Fund has raised thousands of dollars for missions around the world. Hear me, she's in heaven with Jesus, and she's raised more money for missions than most of us combined. This is an incredible oak of righteousness that came from a single seed. And listen, inside every one of those seeds is a tree. An oak tree of righteousness that God wants to grow in His power and in His strength. Look at me, every seed you sow, even the smallest seed, has a tree inside of it. Friend, God's plan for you and His plan for that person that you're sowing into is to take your roots and take them deep into His love, to give you a trunk of confidence and joy that can withstand any storm, to give you branches of generosity and hospitality that are so far-reaching that embrace those around you. He wants to make you into something unmovable, something unshakable, something strong and sturdy, and it starts with a small seed. We have a little guy here named Parker. He's not a little guy. We have a young man here named Parker. And Parker came to our church a little over a year ago because his sister Emily sowed a small seed into his life and invited him to move out. And on move out, where he served his community, he got to experience Christ's love. That summer, God began to grow that little seed in his life. He went to the back to school retreat and he felt God call him to go into full-time ministry. And now, because of that small seed, there is a tree growing of a young pastor. He's studying the Bible at Moody Bible Institute so that he can become a preacher of the Word. Bill Agee is a man that we all know. He started coming to church because two ladies picked him up when he was a kid and took him to Sunday school. And in Sunday school, the gospel seed started to fall in his life. He learned servanthood. He learned integrity. He learned what it means to be a man. And now he is a servant, a faithful, integrity-filled man of the Lord, all because of a small seed. Our children's pastor, Tammy, when she was a little girl, she was in a Christmas program and she got to play Mary. And she was so touched by the idea of playing Mary and being chosen to bear God's child. And she remembers asking God, God, would you ever choose me to carry your child? And she said, I look back on that, and now God has chosen me to love and care for his little children as a children's pastor. One little seed planted in the heart of a little girl has grown into a tree of fruit and wisdom that children all over the community are benefiting from. Friend, little seeds have a tremendous impact. Every tree has a seed inside. And so I'm asking you this morning, what seed do you need to sow? Maybe it's the seed of just getting up and spending the first part of your day, every day, in God's Word and letting the seeds of His Word water your life. Is there a family member that you need to encourage with the love of the gospel that you need to share an encouraging word or an encouraging prayer with? Maybe your seed is just to shift your focus from doing to being. Instead of trying to accomplish things in your own power, maybe you need to simply trust in the power of God's work in your life. Maybe you need to wake up each day and go, God, I'm your child. And because of that, you're going to bear fruit. These small seeds, they are going to accomplish their purpose. Maybe your seed is a simple decision, just to reach out and say, I need help. I'm struggling. And I need someone to come alongside me and love me. And I promise you, that little seed is all he needs. And from that little tree, he will grow a tree full of kingdom fruit and kingdom purposes in your life. You know, John 12:24 says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Friend, when Christ was crucified, when he died, his body was buried like a seed in the tomb. But after his resurrection, out of that empty tomb, a beautiful gospel tree began to grow. A tree with roots that go deep into the truth of God's character and his promises. A tree with a trunk that is sturdy like the covenant that he's made with us. A tree with branches that are so far-reaching that no person is so lost that they cannot hide under its shade. It's a tree that we get to be a part of. It's our family tree. Friends, Jesus died so that the gospel seed could be planted in you. And from that small seed, an oak tree of righteousness would grow and begin to transform your life from the inside out. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And I pray today for those small seeds that we're sowing in our life. God, would you use those to accomplish big kingdom things in our life? Would you give us the faith to trust in the very small, simple seed of the gospel? I pray for those who are weary listening to this message right now because they've been trying so hard to sow seed and they don't know if anything's happening. But God, I pray you would reestablish, reengage their faith today. All you need is a simple seed. And from that seed, you can do incredible things. Father, I love you. Speak to us today. Encourage us today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, church, I hope you've enjoyed this last 25 minutes or so. I pray for you today. I pray that you'll be safe and warm. And we'll see you next weekend. We love you.